Good morning. Welcome for being here the last Sunday of spring break. People are either sleeping or traveling back from their adventures over the last week. As Herschel mentioned, my name is Arlita Arelli, and along with my husband, John, and our two kids, we moved to San Antonio almost 8 years ago to start Mission Vineyard Church. I am preaching this morning because, as you saw in the video, John is away, and my hopes of doing a mime for you all this morning did not come to fruition. My first announcement really is a quick little thing, is that since the beginning of 2019, John felt kind of compelled to invite the church, our people who come regularly, to kind of share what Jesus is doing in their life, that we all are encouraged, moved, impacted by hearing the story of Jesus actively engaging in people's lives. And so this morning, the person who was supposed to share is homesick. And upon hearing that, Carol felt led to come and share a little bit what God's been doing in her life over the last couple of years. And so I'd like to invite Carol Galladay up to kind of share a little bit about what God's doing in her life. So Carol, John's been asking people who've been sharing, like, how has Jesus been a champion in your life? And so you can just kind of share a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, gosh, it's been 2.5 years, I think, like, knowing about, like, the sermon this week and how it's on obedience. I was like, this kind of really ties into Arlita's sermon. So, gosh, 2.5 years ago, I was pregnant with our third child. And I was not happy about it. We were done having kids, and finding out that I was pregnant was really, really hard. And really, I was just angry with God. Just how would he allow this to happen when he knew that I didn't want to have another child?
And being pregnant is like health risk, big health risk.
Yeah. For you. Yeah, and I have a blood disorder, so being pregnant is not as healthy for me. So I had to work through that quite a bit. But through that, I knew that God wanted me to be in church, and he wanted me to go to small group. And that was the last place I wanted to be. Like, I did not want to be with other people that were happy and smiling when I was just angry and bitter. But I knew that I had to obey God. Like, I knew I had to be in church. I knew that being around people was better for me. And that's what God really wanted for me. So I came and left quickly after church every Sunday. But I came. And I think I was still pregnant, or maybe right after Olivia was born. John and Herschel called me and said, hey, you know, we're meeting and we want to know if you'd be interested in doing an internship at the church. I was like, are you crazy? Like, I am mad at God. I feel some, like, completely far away from him. I don't think I could do that. Like, that, my answer is no, like, just flat out no. But they encouraged me to pray about it, and I did, and God was like, no, this is what I want you to do. So reluctantly, I said yes to John and Herschel, and it was really hard at first. Like, I had to work through a lot of hurt and anger, but knowing that I was obedient to Jesus, I think, kind of pushed me forward a little bit, knowing that that's what he wanted me to do. And now looking back, it's been 2.5 years or however it's been, and seeing Olivia now, like, we couldn't imagine our lives without her. Like, she brings our family so much joy. And her middle name is Joy, so it kind of just, it really fits her. And I didn't understand why God was putting her in our lives, but now I do. Like, she has brought our family joy, but with Olivia, it also, I think, just sparked a new passion in me where I hadn't had in a really long time. I have been meeting with John and Arlita a bit and working through a lot of things. And just wanting to see other people experience the joy that I do when I serve Jesus, when I follow him, when I'm obedient. So for me, like, obedience to Jesus came above anything else that I was feeling.
Thanks for sharing, Carol. I'm going to pray for you. I'm just going to pray for Carol real quick, and then we'll continue on in our sermon. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for Carol and how you've made her, Lord, to be stubborn and a fighter and a stick-to-itiveness, Lord, to her that was really essential in this time, and Lord, in choosing to continue to follow you even through a really dark period in her life. And I thank you, Lord, that you've continued to reveal yourself to her, not only through her daughter, Lord, but through ways she's getting to serve here at Mission Vineyard and beyond. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So if anybody else feels like they want to share about how God is impacting your life today, we have a sign-up sheet in the back that you're welcome. There's dates there you can sign, and John or Herschel or anybody will call you like the week leading up to it and kind of just talk over your story a little bit. But it really is encouraging to people to hear how God is moving in our lives. So over the past 6 weeks, we've been working our way through the book of Acts in a series of sermons called Scattered Servants. For those of you joining us today for the first time or have missed the other sermons, I will share a brief backstory. At the end of 2018, John was a bit confused and concerned that we were attracting people from all over San Antonio, then the South, and the Northwest, and far north. But we know that people are more likely to come visit a church if they've been personally invited. And so it's kind of challenging to encourage our church to invite your neighbors, but you live 45 minutes away. John was calling out to God, saying, like, well, God, what are you doing? And he felt like God gave him the phrase, you are scattered servants. We, Mission Vineyard, are and will continue to be scattered servants for the kingdom of God here in San Antonio and beyond. Our impact on the city will look different than if we all lived in the same five-mile radius. But in little pockets all over the city, there are people who are welcoming Jesus into all of life. Around the same time that this phrase came to mind, John found out that another Vineyard pastor wrote a book called Scattered Servants. And it's a fantastic book, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a little bit. But in the early chapter, page 23, I think, it says that he defined Scattered Servants as a movement of people empowered by the Holy Spirit and sent to bring life to cities. I'm going to pray for my talk here this morning, just so that I settle myself, and then we'll continue on with my sermon. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to come together and worship you this morning. Thank you for the space we get to meet in. And Lord, I thank you for all the people that serve here at Mission Vineyard every week so we can share your good news here this morning and then out in the world. I trust you, Lord, that the words I have prepared this morning will be used for your glory and your mission. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you remember anything from today, it's really, really not hard. I want you to remember that the measure of success is obedience to Jesus. And maybe you're here this morning and you're really not sure at all about Jesus at all, but I just encourage you to listen, and I hope and pray that you will here's something that moves you. As I've already mentioned, we've been studying the book of Acts for the last few weeks and the beginning stories of how the early church was formed. Last week, we had to take a break from our sermon series because we couldn't meet here at the Duseum, so we had a great church picnic across the street at Lions Field. And the week prior to that, John shared a great message from the beginning of Acts chapter 5, where we learned about the dire consequences of not being obedient to Jesus. Ananias and Sapphira could have simply told the truth, and their story would have had a completely different ending. But we're picking up in the rest of Acts 5, and thankfully for me, no one drops dead. There's some awesome heaven here on earth stuff about an angel intervening on the behalf of Jesus' followers. And so I start in Acts 5, verse 17. The high priest and his officials, who were Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But an angel of the Lord came at night, opened the gates of the jail, and brought them out. Then he told them, go to the temple and give the people this message of life. So at daybreak, the apostles entered the temple, as they were told, and immediately began teaching. When the high priest and his officials arrived, they convened the high council, the full assembly of the elders of Israel. Then they sent for the apostles to be brought from the jail for trial. But when the temple guards went to the jail, the men were gone. So they returned to the council and reported. The jail was securely locked, with the guards standing outside, but when we opened the gates, no one was there. When the captain of the temple guard and the leading priests heard this, they were perplexed, wondering, where would it all end? Then someone arrived with startling news. The men you put in jail are standing in the temple teaching the people. The captain went with his temple guards and arrested the apostles, but without violence, for they were afraid the people would stone them. We give you strict orders never again to teach in this man's name, he said. Instead, you have filled all Jerusalem with your teaching about him, and you want to make us responsible for his death. But Peter and the apostles replied, we must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead after you killed him by hanging him on a cross. Then God put him in the place of honor at his right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. When they heard this, the high council was furious and decided to kill them. But one member, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, who was an expert in religious law and respected by all the people, stood up and ordered that the men be sent outside the council chamber for a while. Then he said to his colleagues, men of Israel, take care what you are planning to do with these men. Some time ago, there was that fellow Thutis, who pretended to be someone great, but 400 others joined him. About 400 others joined him, but he was killed, and all his followers went their various ways. The whole movement came to nothing. After him, at the time of the census, there was Judas of Galilee. He got people to follow him, but he was killed too, and all his followers were scattered, but not the way we talk about scattered. So my advice is, leave these men alone. Let them go. If they are planning and doing these things merely on their own, it will soon be overthrown. But if it is from God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You may even find yourselves fighting against God. The others accepted his advice. They called in the apostles and had them flogged. That's cool. Then they ordered them never to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. The apostles left the high council and rejoicing that God had counted them worthy to suffer disgrace for the name of Jesus. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they continued to preach and teach and preach this message, Jesus is the Messiah. Wow, that was a lot. There are so many different directions one could go in with this passage. But today I'm going to talk about the two verses that where Peter says, we must obey God rather than any human authority, and we are witnesses of these things, so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him. The sentence I had up on the screen a few moments ago, the measure of success is obedience to Jesus, is one that John and I have repeated to ourselves over and over and over again in the almost 8 years since we moved to San Antonio to start this church. We all know that the measure of success in our world is often one of numerical growth, financial gain, stability, even excess. Getting the car, the house, the cat, the amazing job, to appoint whatever children, and so on. There are a ton of expectations we imagine when we think of the word success. These things, in and of themselves, aren't bad. It's noble to want to grow, to receive accolades, to live in financial freedom, and to provide the basic needs and wants for our family. But what we're reading here in the early church in Acts is a different way of being. All of the followers were coming together, sharing their resources so no one was lacking, and continuing the mission and ministry that Jesus modeled to them, praying for the sick, casting out demons, sharing the good news of Jesus, the Messiah. Having spent actual time with the living Jesus, both before and after the resurrection, Peter and some of the apostles had firsthand knowledge of the things Jesus said and did. Peter, unlike some of the other early believers who came to faith after Jesus ascended to heaven, actually had been with Jesus. He was one of the original 12. He had eaten with Jesus, he traveled with Jesus, he had been corrected by Jesus. It's so easy to read about the early church and the first followers and equate them on some similar level of perfection as Jesus. But Peter was every bit as human as you and I are. Before Jesus' death, Peter had an amazing experience of walking on water and then sinking when he started to freak out. He also cut off someone's ear when he was angry and scared. Jesus had to heal that guy. And then, even after all those experiences, Peter denied that he knew Jesus 3 times after Jesus had been arrested. But the measure of success is obedience to Jesus. And most of us will spend a lifetime learning this. I do think that it was because of these experiences, though, with Jesus, that Peter was determined to share the good news of Jesus. After the Holy Spirit came on the early church, on what we call now the day of Pentecost, Peter was a different person. He had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and he really was not the same. He became insistent that being obedient to God instead of man produced better results. We heard about a month ago from Katie Boucher when she preached about Peter's boldness. In Acts 4, there are 2 verses that really stuck out to me. And they said, verses 19 and 20, "But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard.'" I love that last sentence. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard. Their experience of and with Jesus was infectious, and they felt compelled to continue to speak to him. So today, being March 17th, better known as St. Patrick's Day, we are going to watch a brief video about the history of St. Patrick before I continue on.
But in Britain, around AD 35, well, actually, he wasn't called St. Patrick at the time, or even Patrick, but was referred to as Maewyn Sukkot. Good thing he changed his name later. St. Maewyn's Day just doesn't have the same ring. We'll stick with Patrick, just in case I'm slaughtering that pronunciation. Patrick was quite far from being a saint growing up. Until he was 16, he considered himself a pagan, or maybe even an atheist by today's definition. It was at that age when he was taken into slavery by a group of Irish marauders that attacked his village. Patrick was sold to his master, a Druid chief in Ireland, and served him for 6 years. It was during his captivity that he became a Christian. One day he heard what he described as a voice compelling him in his sleep to leave his master and find a ship that awaited him. He fled to the coast of Ireland and eventually made it back to his home. He then decided to study in the monastery and stayed there for 12 years, during which he decided that his calling was to convert the pagans to Christianity. Eventually, he adopted his Christian name, Patricius, or Patrick as we now know it, and returned to Ireland after being appointed a bishop. Patrick was very successful at winning converts, which upset the Celtic Druids, who had him arrested several times, but he managed to escape each arrest. Patrick traveled through Ireland, establishing monasteries, schools, and churches throughout the land. Eventually, Patrick returned to where he had once been a slave, to pay his ransom to his former master. Despite being treated cruelly, Patrick didn't hold a grudge against him. As Patrick approached his master's old homestead, to his horror, he saw that it was in flames. Patrick found out that the stories people told about him had preceded him, and in a fit of frenzy, his old master gathered all of his treasures into his mansion, set them on fire, and then threw himself into the flames. An ancient record adds that his pride could not endure the thought of being vanquished by his former slave. There are a lot of legends surrounding St. Patrick. Some say that he raised people from the dead. Others say that he drove snakes out of Ireland, but since there aren't any fossil records of snakes in Ireland at that time, it's highly unlikely, unless he drove out the fossils as well. Many think that snakes was a metaphor for the conversion of the pagans, meaning that he drove paganism out from Ireland. Green wasn't the original color associated with St. Patrick, it was first blue. It eventually changed, for various reasons. Probably because of being used in various Irish flags and how green is associated with Ireland itself. Patrick worked in Ireland for 30 years. Afterwards, he retired and then died on March 17th, in AD 461. There wasn't a canonization process when Patrick died. That didn't come up until the 12th century. He would have been declared a saint by acclamation, and his sainthood approved by a local bishop soon after he died. St. Patrick's Day was originally a Catholic holiday, and still is, but has also evolved into a secular holiday, being celebrated by non-Irish, non-Catholics, and ironically enough, even atheists. Today, when people think of St. Patrick, they imagine a leprechaun in a green jacket, hat, pipe, clover, and a pot of gold. Not a man who devoted 30 years of his life to teaching and helping the Irish. Hopefully you now know a little more about the history of St. Patrick.
So, now all of the details of the life of St. Patrick are hard to nail down perfectly. A lot of it is legend, but he did write a few things himself, so we are able to learn a great deal about him. He is credited with bringing Christianity to Ireland. And legend has it that he used the shamrock to teach people, the people of Ireland, about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And what can be gathered from his own writings and other historical documents, Patrick was a slave for 6 years, spending much of his time in isolation as a shepherd. He was lonely and prayed nonstop for God to rescue him from slavery. 6 long years of loneliness and isolation, yet he continued to pray. The measure of success is obedience to Jesus. Even with the dream that God would rescue him from slavery and he'd find that ship to journey back to his homeland, that wasn't easy. He didn't like just magically appear in Ireland, and back in the UK. And after all of this and continued hardship, even upon returning home, he felt compelled to eventually go back to Ireland because he cannot stop telling about everything he had seen and heard. The account we are reading in Acts was very much a fresh experience for Peter and the other apostles. But I would imagine that there were times while they were being flogged or jailed again, or eventually persecuted to death, especially the further and further they were away from firsthand experiences of Jesus, that being obedient to Jesus was actually extremely challenging. So reading verse 32 again, it's written, "We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, who is given by God to those who obey him." The Holy Spirit is given to everyone who believes. This is a lifelong process of learning the resilience and grit needed to be obedient to Jesus daily. But the Holy Spirit will teach us. When we've had an encounter with Jesus, that experience is often enough to get us through for a little bit. But then we need to work the muscles of spending time with Jesus, worshiping him, taking moments of solitude, etc. So similar to his first followers, that no matter the cost, we're determined to obey God and not man. There are a couple of things I'd like to point out in these scriptures. First, God invites everyone to his mission. As I've already mentioned, Peter wasn't any more special than you or I. He invites me, he invites my kids, he invites Peter and even St. Patrick into his mission. I think it's easy for us, this many years removed from when these people roamed the earth, to forget that they were human too, as I've already mentioned. But it took Patrick how many years of study in the monastery to finally feel ready to begin his mission for God? Like, we forget. We think, oh, St. Patrick, and either think of the leprechaun or we think he was this holier-than-us person. But he had such a huge impact, though, in Ireland, that the book I mentioned earlier, Scattered Servants, was actually written by an Irish vineyard pastor. His name is Alan Scott, and his wife, Catherine, planted and pastored the Causeway Coast Vineyard in Northern Ireland for almost 20 years before moving to the United States to become the new senior pastors of the Anaheim Vineyard. So that's more than 1,500 years after St. Patrick's death. The work and ministry of Jesus Christ is still at work in Ireland and around the world. Followers of Jesus have a mission to share the good news of Jesus because of what we have seen and experienced. It is going to look different for every person. I don't know if Peter knew the eternal impact he'd have on the world by his obedience, nor do I think Patrick knew the eternal impact of his obedience. He didn't know that there was such a thing as saints when he was living. That wasn't a thing that came about until later on. So we don't know the eternal impact of our obedience to what Jesus is calling us to do in our daily lives. The measure of success is obedience to Jesus. As I mentioned earlier, our family moved here almost 8 years ago to plant Mission Vineyard Church. But it hasn't been smooth sailing. This very month will be 6 years that we've been meeting here on Broadway. First, we met in Lionsfield Community Center across the street, and then we've been here at the museum for about the last 20 months or so. Being portable for 6 years is challenging, as people who drive the trailer know and set up the soundboard every day know, every week. However, we feel that God has given us a vision and a mission for this part of San Antonio on Broadway, so that we can reach the entire city as scattered servants. If God asked us to change course, we would need to be obedient to him. But being obedient often takes a lot of time and waiting. But the fruit far outweighs whatever immediate relief we might feel by going our own way. We do not yet know the eternal impact of our being obedient to Jesus will have on future people and generations. I think there are more people in the world like you and me that are faithful with the little bit they've been given, and over time, that impact is exponential. For me today, the simple act of obedience is engaging with people as I see them. I work from home for the National Vineyard Movement, managing a discernment process for other people that want to plant vineyard churches in the United States. But that means that I have very little, like, human contact, other than, like, email, outside of our weekly small group and coming to church here on Sundays. By the time I pick up my kids from school each afternoon, I'm kind of exhausted from the day and thinking about all of my mom duties once they're home. One way I'm learning to obey Jesus today is to see others around me and ask him how he'd like me to participate. He invites everyone into his mission to share the good news with the world. For me, that's taking little moments to be present with a checkout person at HEB or another mom picking up their child from school. Maybe you are here this morning and have been away from faith for a while because of disappointment in your life or not feeling like you have anything really to offer. Or maybe you've never even trusted God because of the hurt you've experienced or life didn't turn out the way you hoped. But I'd like to encourage you that God is inviting you to join him on his mission. But before we get too far ahead in all of that, I would also want to point out that everyone does really get disappointed in life. I know that we all have faced different types of disillusion or disappointment. Sometimes those moments are brief and sometimes they're ongoing. We experience what we call the not yet of the kingdom. As we prayed this morning in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, we expect God to show up on earth today. But sometimes we experience the not yet of that. He doesn't always answer the prayers we pray, or not in the timing that we would expect. But it's only when we are obedient to Jesus that we get to see the redemption of Jesus in the midst of our suffering. We get to see his kingdom even though we suffer. Sometimes this is a daily prayer for the Holy Spirit to reveal himself to us. 10 years ago, John and I suffered the first of our two miscarriages in between our first child and our last child. I recall that when I was recovering from the first of my miscarriages, I would pray with our daughter at night and at bedtime, and I would just cry. And it's like, I am sad and angry and hurt and confused, God. But I don't know how to do this life not following you. So I will trust you and I will obey that you know what's best. Ultimately, trying to get pregnant a fourth time was a deliberate act of obedience. We had gone for healing prayer. We had listened to wise counsel to not make decisions based on fear. And ultimately, had to trust that God knew what was best for us and our family. Thankfully for us, God revealed himself to us again through our son. We have all had experiences where we hit rock bottom. It can be so easy to simply give up. Even Jesus, the Savior of the world, was hoping for another way out of the mission he was given as he cried out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane. Through repeated encounters with the living God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can walk each day that no matter the persecution, waiting, or disillusionment that one endures in life, following Jesus is worth it compared to disobeying God. So what is Jesus inviting you into this morning? For some of you, all you may be ready for this morning is a humble prayer saying that you do not even know how to obey. I would like to encourage you that you do not need to do this on your own. We are given the Holy Spirit when we believe, and he will teach us how to obey. This is a lifelong process of learning to trust and obey. If you aren't even ready to say you want to obey, but want to talk with Jesus for the first time this morning, please don't leave this morning without telling somebody. Similar to that prayer, maybe you're feeling just really lost, discouraged, disillusioned this morning. Life has been extremely hard lately or even for a while, and you're feeling really lost. The idea of obeying God seems too big of an ask because of the despair and disillusionment you've experienced. Or maybe this morning you're just really hungry for actual transformation. We don't obey Jesus simply because we are rule followers. My phone's over here. I had a verse come to mind this morning because oftentimes we think of the word obedience. We think of like kids and just following rules and being in order. But in 1 John 3, I'm just going to search real quick because this is a verse I've been just kind of ruminating on for the last few months. See how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. And it goes on and talks about other things, but we are deeply loved by God as his children. And so we obey not because we have to follow a set of rules, but because of his deep love for us. And so the actual transformation that can occur when we surrender to God, we know that through obedience, we will experience real life. We want to know and experience Jesus and all he has for us now. Like Peter, we want to live a life that's different than the life we've lived before we knew Jesus. Or like St. Patrick, who had not been following Jesus when he had been a teenager and kidnapped. Or even like myself, someone who knew of Jesus but was not following him until one summer day in college when he radically changed my life and its trajectory. Maybe right now you're in a place where you're wanting to share the good news of Jesus because you can't not share, as Peter mentioned in Acts 4. This is what success is really about. We may not see victories ourselves, but we know that when we are obedient to Jesus, our life and work is wrapped up in the greater victory of the kingdom of God, here and now, and the final victory of Jesus to come. Please pray with me. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the example you've given us through yourself and followers of you that have gone before us. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us how to be obedient to you, knowing that when we follow you, you lead us to life. So as we close out the sermon, the worship team comes back up to lead us in a final song. I'd encourage you to come for prayer, not only for the three words that were shared this morning up on the screen, but maybe something in the sermon really struck a chord with you. We have groups of people that will be ready to pray for you over here in this corner. If you have decided to follow Jesus for the first time this morning, or it's been a really long time since you decided to follow Jesus, I'm going to be over here by the black curtain. I'd love to pray with you this morning. But if you have any other emotional, physical, or spiritual need, please come for prayer. I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to be scattered servants wherever you go, bringing the life of Jesus with you. Amen.